The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good afternoon. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. Thanks for tuning in today. We will focus the broadcast on the college search journey, and it certainly is a journey indeed. And joining me today to discuss that journey is an independent educational consultant, as well as a voice you've heard many times in the radio in the past, as she's a big part of our school district, and that's Lynn Lillian. Welcome, Lynn. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me today, David. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for again for a few minutes of your time. And you know, it's that time of year where our students are certainly in the midst of the college search journey. And I know for our listeners, if they've had a child recently go through that journey, it's so different than it was when many of us attended college or had a relative attend college in the past. So I thought for our listeners, as well as our students and their families, just to catch up a little bit on exactly, you know, what that journey looks like today and some tips that we could offer and suggestions for them would certainly be beneficial as we're just about to kick off the 2020-21 school year. So again, thanks for joining us. And perhaps maybe we could begin just with a little bit of an introduction, Lynn. Our listeners know you very well from supporting our students for years here in the school district in different capacities, whether it's on the school board or as a volunteer in classrooms or an advocate with certain, you know, subcommittees of a board of education. But perhaps an introduction into your expertise with college consulting. And I know that you work along with your partner, for example, Sharon Davis, with College Mode Consulting. So maybe just a few words about that to kick it off.
Sure. Thanks so much. Yes. So Sharon Davis and I embarked on this journey together to become college admissions consultants. And we got our education at UCLA, which has a program that's specifically tailored to training independent educational consultants in this process and how to support students and how to really keep, you know, the mission, you know, the kind of institutional focus of that program is really on student-centered outcomes, you know, how to support what's best for each individual student. And I think for Sharon and I, when we came to this work, it's, you know, we both feel really strongly about education. It's something we both have spent a lot of our time on. And we also really, really like this age group of kids. And when we started on this process, we realized that having kind of seen it from afar in the school district, but also for myself personally, having gone through the process three times with my own kids and three, you know, different, you know, realizing that each kid is so different and that one process for one kid is going to necessarily look different, we really felt like there were some real opportunities that were missing in the way that the process usually falls out. And the process in normal circumstances, and is always, highly stressful, really focused on kind of external variables around where can I get in, what am I supposed to be like, what does this college want from me. And the opportunities, the developmental opportunities for growth that we saw was that if we could offer a process that focused on the student and their priorities, their values, their interests, where they wanted to go in their life, then there were two things would come out of that. One, it would help reduce the stress and the external pressure of the process where kids are kind of looking at it from what they're supposed to be rather than what they are. And also, it would help them develop agency and skills in that process that would help them when they got to college, but would also help them arrive at a choice for their college years that would represented a really great fit for them. So that's kind of what drove us into this work, is feeling really strongly about those opportunities for students and how to infuse them into what is really, as you said in your opening, college admissions is so radically different than it was even 15 years ago. It's much more stressful. It's much more competitive. It's much more complex. There, the components of the process have become even more complex and multi-layered than they were, you know, back in the day when you would fill out a piece of paper and write an essay quickly and send it off. So that's how we come to the work, and we come to the work understanding that it really is radically different. And for parents going into the process, there's a different level of stress. And what we hope to also do for families is allow them the opportunity to actually enjoy those last years or those that last 18 months of their student's high school life before they go off, without having to be kind of the nagger in chief, because we take care of all of that, all the project management, I's dotted, T's crossed also. So, you know, that's where we come from, really, from a kind of comprehensive student-centered look at the whole process, looking for the best outcomes for each individual student.
Yeah, that's excellent. And, you know, I was reminded as an educator and as a father with my own children, you know, you feel such a pressure to help our children and our students and their families, you know, connect to find that match, rather, whether it's, you know, emotionally, academically, financially, socially. So to have a resource, and whether it's a school counselor or a high school counselor who can be certainly strong and significant resources, or to branch out and expand the resources to someone like you or Sharon with your expertise. And, you know, even before this broadcast, I was on your website, collegemodeconsulting.com, and I'm just reminded of just how complex this process really is compared to years ago. And, you know, maybe familiarizing our listeners a little bit again about the process, the application process, Lynn. What in 2021 or 2020 to 21, what does that look like now for students?
Well, for students, it most often starts in the early part of junior year. They start thinking about, they certainly start probably thinking about their testing strategy. Are they going to take the SAT? Are they going to take the SAT? How are they going to prep for that? They're going to start to think about, you know, if they're in that place, they're going to start to think about schools in a really general way, like, you know, where would I be comfortable if there's students who, who have an idea about what they want to study in college, that can start to help to direct their college search. But really that fall and spring of junior year is really test prep and college search. And hopefully a student has an opportunity to go from kind of like broad to narrow, you know, to imagine all kinds of possibilities for themselves when they think about, you know, their post-secondary future, and to give them enough time to kind of strategize around their standardized testing to put themselves in a good position. So that's really what that piece of the timeline looks like. As you move into the spring and early summer of junior year into senior year, then pre-COVID, then hopefully students have kind of gotten their list whittled down. Hopefully they've done in-depth research so that they understand kind of very specific ways in which those schools would be a fit for them that are on their list. And then they start maybe doing some visits and experiencing what those campuses are like in a more intuitive way. Taking note of things that may be important to them. For some students, Greek life might be really important. For others, it might be just as important that it doesn't exist on a campus. Sports may be important for some. Laboratory facilities might be important for others. So really taking, you know, looking at each one of those colleges to see, do they have the things that are going to make those 4 years worth it for me as a student. And then towards the spring and early summer, then you start thinking about finishing up your, you've done your testing, hopefully, at least a couple of tests before then. If there's subject tests that you're interested in taking, or the colleges that you're looking at are requiring those subject tests, you want to think about those in that June time. You want to also start to think about who you'd like to ask for letters of recommendation as from your teachers. Giving those teachers plenty of time to, fill up their slots and make sure that you put yourself in a position where the teacher who you feel would best reflect what you contribute in the classroom has enough time and space to write that letter for you. And then what we do with our students is we start working on the essay also in the spring, late spring, early summer of junior into senior year, because that gives us the summer to really do that work. So the summertime is essays. The Common App opens in August, so hopefully by the end of the summer, a student has a really good framework for their personal statement and have started to familiarize themselves and work on supplemental essays that come out as part of that, get identified after that August date. And then the fall is really about extra testing if that's necessary and filling out the Common App, as well as familiarizing themselves with the FAFSA, which opens up at the beginning of October. So we work with families to make sure that everyone, the parents and the students, understand the components of the financial aid process, the differences between different kinds of aid, and the differences between different types of loans, and, you know, essentially have a good vocabulary for financing higher education, because that's even more complex. And there's tons of myths about each one of these milestones in the process, and so we work really hard to try and reduce those myths and help families understand exactly how they can position themselves well in terms of academically, socially, and financially for their student.
Well, I tell you, every plan, it seems like, is individualized, so to speak, to the student. So that is certainly a huge advantage. So when we return, something you didn't know about the college selection process. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools.
Sam's Meat Warehouse is a butcher with old-time family values. Remember back in the day when people knew their butcher by name and visiting them was a social experience? They would talk to customers about how to cook a piece of meat to perfection. Sam's combines old-world methods with modern techniques. Call your favorite butcher, Sam's, at 845-651-MEAT, or visit the store right off 17A in Florida, New York, for the highest quality products at unbeatable prices.
Did you know that the Warwick Valley Dispatch is one of the few independently owned and operated papers in the country, and that they've been run by the same family since 1885, and that every edition is printed at the Dispatch building in Warwick? The Warwick Valley Dispatch is also the official newspaper of the Warwick Valley and Florida school districts, the town of Warwick, the villages of Warwick and Florida, the Warwick, Florida, and Pine Island Fire Districts, and the Albert Wisner Public Library. To advertise or subscribe to Warwick's hometown newspaper, call 986-22 today. Shop local. Read the Warwick Valley Dispatch.
Tune into the Nonprofit Notebook, your resource for and about people helping people. Learn about all the events and services available for you, friends, or family. Open your Nonprofit Notebook Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Radio worth listening to.
WTBK. Welcome back. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. The topic today, the college planning process. Joining us is Lynn Lillian from College Mode Consulting. Thanks again so much, Lynn, for joining us today and providing us with a little bit of an update in terms of what the college selection process looks like in the year 2020. So thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So perhaps we let's shift a little bit in the discussion. In general, you know, how can students that are currently in high school make the most of the high school experience as it relates to this college admissions process?
That's a great question. I think that what often happens for students is that they seem like two separate tracks, like college admissions and then what I do in high school. And they're aware of the things they're supposed to do, like take a rigorous curriculum, extracurriculars, and all those things. But really, they both are a lot more intertwined than you think at first glance. So what colleges are really looking for is they're looking to see how have students grown in high school? What have they explored? What have they learned about themselves? How have they contributed? And that's very general, but it means, you know, how have you evolved as a person in a way in those 4 years? And then they want to know, how can they imagine that you would have that same kind of growth in college? And the third thing that they want to understand is they want to understand how their institution is in parallel with your goals and objectives for your college education, where that fit is. So for students, the best thing is a good fit, but institutions are looking for that fit as well. So what you want to do to make the most out of college is clearly do those clear things. You want to take a rigorous college preparatory curriculum, and you want to show more than anything growth. So that doesn't mean that you have to be at the top of the class. It means that you are demonstrating that you are pushing yourself academically and that you're growing academically. But it also, there are great opportunities in high school, and if for students who have an opportunity to explore different things, whether that's in an extracurricular way or within the school district. I know that, you know, at Warwick we have lots of different options available for students that would give them a taste of what a future career might be like, whether it's our communications department, our biomedical classes, things like that are perfect opportunities for kids to explore during high school. And if what you find in high school are things that you're not interested in, that's just as valuable as finding the things that you're interested in as well. That shouldn't be seen as like a drawback because you've, you know, eliminated something that you might have considered, you know, in college that you found, oh, this isn't for me, I'm going to go in a different direction. That growth can also take the place of, take the form of extracurricular kind of growth, like what kinds of, how are you exploring, you know, the way that you want to impact your community and the world? Like, are there leadership opportunities that you're taking advantage of? And those can look really different for different kids.
Absolutely. And you know, it's so difficult at a young age to really know exactly what you want to be when you grow up. And many of us are still figuring that out. So to have all these various enriching experiences to help sort of form who you're going to become, I think, is real important.
And I think, too, you mentioned something really important, which is that you're actually not supposed to know, you know, really. And that's where the perspective shift comes in, that we talked about in the beginning, from what am I supposed to be to what am I, or what do I want to be, or what do I think I might want to be? And so versus feeling like you're behind the eight ball because you don't no, I want to be a nurse or a doctor or an accountant or anything like that. Imagining, like, what am I interested in next? You know, I find this interesting. I'm going to pursue that. That's really a great perspective for a high school student, is to really follow their interests and their values in terms of the kinds of things that they spend their time doing, and to be able to have an opportunity to be thoughtful about that as well. You know, am I doing this, you know, ABC, whatever it is, just because I'm supposed to, or is it something I'm interested in? Because I feel like what I'm most proud of about our school district is that we do have so many opportunities for our students to really pursue interests and extracurricular activities that could inform them about what it is that might be meaningful to them in high school, in college, and also beyond.
Well put. And, you know, it got me thinking when you were sharing a little bit about the admissions process earlier, that during these times, particularly this pandemic, how has that changed the college admissions process, you know, COVID?
That's a great question, and I'm going to try and keep an eye on the commercial break so I don't talk for too long. But it's changed quite a lot. So on the one hand, it's changed everything, and on the other hand, the underlying drivers are actually still very much the same. So what I said before about what colleges are looking for, they're still the same. They're looking for growth in high school. They're looking for you know, a rigorous curriculum. They're looking to see who you are as a person. And the ways in which students can demonstrate that are now very different. And that's what is, I think, really stressful for everyone involved in the process, whether it's the colleges themselves, whether it's parents and families, or even counselors. It becomes stressful when all of a sudden the rules change. But again, there are great opportunities here. So when students are considering how they may want to spend their extracurricular time in terms of service, then they start to have to think in kind of different ways. And there is an opportunity there. Rather than doing something that may be easily available, then you have to think about what is it that you actually really want to accomplish in doing that. And so that's become more challenging for students. But what we found that we've been working with students around is we're talking about personal projects, like, okay, you can't go to the hospital and volunteer, but is there another way that you can express your kind of interest and commitment to a career in the medical field, personally or within a smaller framework? Another difference is, college visits. Kids can't do college visits in the same way. They've been inhibited from that really important kind of window into what that school culture is like and what it feels like to be on that campus. So, but what students do have availability to is, virtual tours and contacting admissions officers and even kind of trying to track down maybe kids in their hometown who've gone to that same school and asking them questions. And, Sharon and I have attended a few conferences this summer, and one thing we are hearing from admissions officers is that they do want to hear from students. So even if you can't go on a college visit in the same way that you could have a year ago or 18 months ago, and you know that there's some questions that you have that are substantive questions, call admissions. Start to develop a relationship with that regional counselor who's assigned to, wherever you are geographically. And also take note of the ways in which your questions are answered or that you're responded to, because that will be a reflection of kind of institutional values as well. And make a decision about, like, oh, is that in line with what I'm interested in? So it makes it a little more difficult, but there are opportunities for students to deliver the same thing, which is to demonstrate who they are as people, what they're interested in, what their values are, and how proactive they are about the process as well.
Yeah, it's a couple of themes emerge throughout our conversation. I'm learning a little bit more about the, in terms of the college mode consulting or any college counselor, and that is I'm hearing project management types of things that we can talk about after the break, because I know parents certainly look to support their students in that piece of it, mm-hmm. a little more transactional in nature. But I'm hearing also a lot about the counseling piece, which we do as parents every day, and even when we have an expertise in an area, it can certainly be challenging, working at times with our own children. Mm-hmm. But the whole counseling piece in terms of, and maybe you correct me if I'm wrong, but from the perspective of the college search to assessing what career interest maybe a student has that we were talking about earlier, or at least areas that they might be interested in. And, when we were kids, I know the interview preparation piece, I don't know, is that still relevant, Lynn?
It's relevant in that, I think that probably when we were kids that you could actually interview with a college admissions counselor, and that is very rare now. So very often it's alumni interviews. So you're interviewing with a person who attended that college who lives in your area, and it's an informal interview, and it is one that that alumni then report, that the notes from that interview are part of your college application, but you're not penalized for not having an alumni interview. But to go back quickly to something that you just said, which is about, Okay, I totally lost my train of thought because you're too intelligent, you are too dense in your communication. So, but
well, we talked about the college search process, the career assessment piece.
We talked about the counseling piece. I apologize. That piece. So what we do when we work with kids is we really start out with personality assessments, career assessments, open-ended questionnaires that allow us to get to know our students. But really, the main goal of what we do when we work with students is to give them an opportunity to understand themselves and to be coming from that place of self-awareness when they start to make these decisions and go through all these different steps. And that's really important because that's the foundation of any of the counseling that happens in this process. And it is a really important component, as you said.
Oh, certainly. So when we return, let's talk a little bit about loving your list, those list of colleges, making sure they're the right fit for you. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools.
At the age of 22, just 3 years after starting Mills Baugh Furniture, the American Civil War began. My great-great-great-grandfather, T.L. Mills Baugh, had to figure out how to make this new business survive. The Spanish flu pandemic hit when my great-great-grandfather was at the helm. A century ago, my great-grandfather faced doing business during the Great Depression and then World War II while his son was serving the U.S. Navy overseas on the Bushnell. In recent history, my father brought us through the housing recession in 2008. Now, just a few months after officially signing documents to be the next generation of Mills Baugh to own and operate Mills Baugh Furniture, I know that we will come through this as well. Just like those before me, I will rely on the same philosophies as my ancestors to provide you with exceptional customer service and beautiful, non-disposable furniture and mattresses. If you have recently found the comfort and support of your furniture and mattresses in need of improvement, let my furniture counselors show you what makes our products the best value for you while helping to make your best buying decisions. Sturdy, elegant, comfortable, timeless. That's Mills Baugh Furniture since 1858.
The Clover Stables is a first-class facility in Rock Tavern, New York, offering state-of-the-art boarding with rubber-matted stalls, plus metered Nelson automatic waterers, its own fan, individual or group daily turnout, wash stalls with heat lamps, grooming stalls, vet and farrier stalls, and much more, plus a 224-by-80-foot indoor arena with travel-right dust-free footing. To learn more or to schedule a private tour, visit thecloverstables.com.
The Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan connects people who care with causes that matter. The Community Foundation facilitates and manages endowment funds that grow and benefit our communities. The Community Foundation supports numerous organizations while building an endowment that serves as a continual source of community capital. The Community Foundation connects people who care with causes that matter, and they serve people of all means. To make a difference, visit cfosny.org.
Hi, this is Peter Fellow of A&T Healthcare, your one call for the finest in home healthcare. Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. to hear the latest news on everything health-related because your health does matter. That's Health Matters every Thursday at 10 a.m.
WTBQ Weather.
Not a bad afternoon for this final day of meteorological summer across the area. Intervals of clouds and sunshine with high temperatures in the mid and upper 70s. Clouds continue to thicken up this evening, maybe even a few rain showers or sprinkles, mostly after midnight. Not very impactful though, and by morning we're down around 60. More clouds than sun tomorrow. We're in the mid 70s with a few passing showers in the morning, then 75 to 80 on Wednesday with a few more showers. Ken Elliott in the WTBQ Weather Center.
The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. Today, we are discussing the college planning process, and we have with us Lynn Lillian from College Mode Consulting. If you get a chance, check out the website, collegemodeconsulting.com. You know, it reminds me as I review the site that this process is often viewed by some as sort of beginning that end of junior, senior year, but really, the planning can begin much sooner than that. I almost feel compelled when I meet my kindergartners for the, I think they're the class of 2033. Or I feel like saying to the parents, make sure you've got your financial tools set up. You better have your 529 plans. You better be investing in it. You know,
it's good advice, actually. You know, it really is. I think those years fly by, and none of us are really prepared for how quickly that goes.
Yeah, the power of compound interest, and you know, et cetera. So, but really, you know, it's I often made the mistake in the past of thinking, okay, junior year comes along, you take your PSAT, and of course, you have time still at that point to do a significant planning, and especially if you have talented guidance counselors at the school, or you do avail yourselves to a service like you and Sharon are offering, a College Mode Consulting. But as a parent, I started into the junior year with my older son. That my younger son, I said, you know, we're going to start earlier. We actually started, I think, toward the end of his freshman year, and certainly into his sophomore year. And just it's been such a a breather for his mother and me, just to know that we've got folks that we can rely upon, whether it's the school counselors or if, college consulting, just to be, you know, to be there for support, not to be learning, so to speak, at the expense, figuratively and literally, of our own children.
And I think that happens. You know, I certainly have talked to other parents, and I can empathize with that same feeling of feeling like, you know I have three children, and that Lord help them all, but that not one, you know, I learned a lot with the first, and then I learned very different things with the second and very different things with the third. So, you know, you don't want to be having that kind of a learning curve with your, you know, when the stakes are so high, because it's your child, and, you know, you don't want to be doing that. And I think, too, the other piece about starting early, there's an important piece in there about starting early, which is that we also work with freshmen and sophomores to kind of plan out their high school career. And again, what we try and do is we try and focus those students that we have the opportunity to work with at that point on who they are and what their interests are, and being able to kind of view that exploration in a very open-minded and almost creative kind of way. And brainstorm a lot about things they might want to accomplish in high school. What might they want to be thinking about in terms of, you know, what do they want to look back on their high school years and say, well, I accomplished this or that. You know, we do focus also very much on rigorous curriculum, because at the end of the day, college is an academic proposition, and that is the number one thing that colleges want to know, in addition to all of the other, you know, how you've grown and who you are as a person. They want to know that you can actually do the work academically. That's the first and foremost thing. So we certainly help freshmen and sophomores plan that piece out, but also give those students an opportunity to be thoughtful and forward-thinking about how they may plan out their high school career academically, where they see themselves going, in terms of the time they spend outside of school, in terms of goals and interests they might want to pursue in that way. And it does make a huge difference. It makes a huge difference in terms of the, like you said, the project management piece, the stress piece, but it also makes a huge difference in terms of that developmental piece, in terms of developing that agency, that self-awareness, that maturity that will only help students through the college admissions process, but more importantly, through that transition to college. That's something that we often don't talk about that much. You know, we talk about getting in, when really it's, you know, getting in is one milestone along a continuum of growth that we want our students to have and to make the most of.
Certainly. Well, speaking of, you know, sort of getting it right, and with, you know, loving your list. So we often talk about, you know, I'll bump into a high school senior and say, where are you thinking of applying, or where have you applied? And they'll have a list and of schools. How do you go about coming up with that list and making sure that you've really done your due diligence and it's the right list for you?
So for students, what we do with our students is we, again, like we said, we start with personality, career assessment, assessments, open-ended questionnaires, things that allow kids to reflect on kind of who they are and what they might be interested in studying, but also, you know, what they like and don't like about, like, specific things. Like, you know, do they want to be in a place with, you know, what kind of people are they drawn to? What kind of place would they feel at home? So when you start your list, you want to start broad and think, okay, you know, what kind of school would I like to be at? Big, little, small, large, rural, suburban. What do I want to get out of it? What kind of programs am I interested in? What you know, am I a person who, one thing that can help determine that list is if you're a person who really has multiple interests and you're not quite sure what you want to do, then that's really going to determine that you're going to be wanting to look at schools at which you're going to have some room to move. Right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to want to look at programs that are very proscribed, like, for instance, engineering programs that really, you know, are a very intensive track that lead to a very specific outcome at the end. You want to have some room to move, and that could be a large university, it could be a small liberal arts college, but you want to look for schools that are going to give you choices. And then you're going to want to think about what kind of place are you going to feel comfortable in? For some students, they want to be in a city. They want to be in a place where they have that kind of added stimulation of an urban life in addition to their college life. And for others, they're exactly the opposite, where for them, they want to be in a place that is physically delineated as a campus. They want to know the people they're walking by every day are people who also go to the same school that they do. So you want to think about that. Well, you're going to live in that place for 4 years. What's going to feel like home to you? What's going to feel like the place where you're going to be able to really accomplish your goals, but also, you know, make friends, contribute to that community, you know, have your values and the kind of institutional values be in line and expressive of, you know, the things that you're interested in. So that's the way that you want to do it. And there's a million different search engines. There's so many search engines that it's all difficult to even articulate them all. But what we really encourage kids to do is start with 15 or 20 schools and then research those schools. We like using the FISC guide because it's like a good thumbnail of what that school is like. It's based on student input.
What was that called, Lynn?
It was called the FISC guide, F-I-S-K-E guide. And you can get it, anywhere, a copy of it. But it gives, like, a little thumbnail of, like, what that school's like, and it's based mm-hmm. on student input. So that's, like, a great place to start. Like, does this sound like someplace I'd feel comfortable? And then if you do feel comfortable there, then go a little deeper. What kind of programs do they have? What kind of extracurriculars? Can I study abroad? What is their study abroad program like? All of those different kinds of things.
Lynn, when I'm coming up with this list with my child, do I consider the expected family contribution, the money, how does that play into it?
I think that what we search for is we search for academic, financial, and cultural kind of target schools, reach schools, and safety schools. So when we say love your list, what we mean is that we want you to be happy at any of those schools that are on your list. And we can talk about more about this after the break because it is like a really important mm-hmm. distinction to have. But we want to make sure that you could be anywhere. And that includes evaluating merit aid and state schools versus private schools, all those things. We want to make sure that their financial safety is in there as well
mm-hmm.
so that you have choices at the end.
So why don't we, when we return, we'll dig a little deeper into this topic.
Great.
This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools.
You have big dreams, big ideas, big kids. Wait, when did they get so big? You have big plans, big things to do, so we built you a bigger Subaru. Subaru listened and delivered the perfect SUV to accommodate everyone and everything in the new three-row 2020 Subaru Ascent. The Subaru brand was awarded the 2019 KBB 5-Year Cost to Own Award. With an EPA estimated highway fuel economy of 27 miles per gallon for 2020 Subaru Ascent and Ascent Premium models with standard equipment. Actual mileage may vary. Visit WayneSubaru.com for a test drive. Summer's here, the perfect time to contact Whitetail Landscaping and Tree Service. Whitetail is a year-round, full-service company based right here in Warwick, New York for over 20 years. Whitetail services include dangerous tree removal, storm damage repair and cleanup, tree pruning, landscape design and installation, and high-end property maintenance. For more information, visit their website at whitetaillandscapeandtreeservice.com. Think local, shop local. This is Zach Kruk. If you want to cut through fake news and party spin, then join me Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock and Friday mornings after the morning show. We'll talk current events, big issues, politics, and a little sports too. So tune in and call in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and Friday after the morning show.
WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is David Leach, and you are listening to Your Schools. Joining me today is Lynn Lillian from College Mode Consulting, and we are discussing the college planning process. And just in case I forget, to learn more about College Mode Consulting, it's collegemodeconsulting.com would be a good place to start. Again, thanks for being here, Lynn. And we were just talking about loving your list in terms of what colleges you want to give strong consideration to and what drives those considerations. And we moved into the financial area a little bit, so I wanted to pick up from that point.
Sure. So, and thanks again for having me. It's really, we love talking about this, so it's really a great opportunity to get to do what we love to talk about. So when we're working with students developing a list, then, like I said, we have them start out with a much broader list and put them through a process of really kind of going from a broad perspective to a more narrow perspective as they start to articulate what their priorities for their college education are. And so while we do that, we're also providing them with resources that can give them an idea about how like the average merit aid that's awarded in schools. Schools provide what's called institutional or merit aid, so that is different from the federal need-based aid that comes from the federal government. That's aid that institutions award depending on their own institutional goals. So that's going to be different for every school. So, you know, at one school, a student might be awarded a significant amount of aid, and yet at another, that same student with the same profile may be offered much less. And it's really, it goes, again, to this idea about fit. So we'll make sure, as that list is being developed, that students have that kind of generalized information, so that when their list is, complete, when they're, in that fall of senior year and they're like, here's my six schools, here's my eight schools, that they know that on that list is either a state school or a school that has a reputation for awarding merit aid that would put that school within reach for their family financially.
Excellent. So, Lynn, I'm sure it's common for students to either share with their families or their school counselor or perhaps with you that they just don't know what they want to do. What advice do you give?
I think first of all, it's something that, like we said in the beginning, the students that we work with and that we're talking about are students that are in, an explosive period of developmental change, like emotionally, physically, intellectually, cognitively. And so knowing, expecting our students to know what they want to do is not really, that on the mark. Most students don't know exactly what they want to do. And many students, when they do enroll in college and they select a major, many students switch majors. They change their majors. And that's, in a funny way, as it should be, because, as we said, what do you want to accomplish in high school? What do you want to explore? It's the same is true for college. Like, you want to understand what it is that is gratifying to you, what your values are, what's important to you, what you like doing. And that piece is, a significant thing, is to let kids know that you're not alone. That's not unusual at all. And that the starting point is your own interest, really. You know, you don't need to know what you want to do for the rest of your life. And actually, likely for most people, they will change careers a few times. So what we're interested in is helping support those kind of developmental structures that will enable them to navigate those shifts for the rest of their life, not necessarily just this one. So starting from your own interests, what's gratifying to you, what fits in terms of, you know, your value system that you've articulated and your priorities, and even things as simple, we'll do career inventories with kids. Even when kids know what they want to do, they say, I definitely want to do biomedical, or I definitely want to do this, then we'll still do those career inventories because they're based on kind of what people like to do in the day-to-day. So if you're someone who really enjoys something, I'm making something up now, but like if you're someone who really is interested in architecture, but you would have a really hard time sitting in front of a computer all day, then you might want to think about how that would fit, right? And look a little more into, well, what can I do with an architecture degree besides, you know, sitting in front of a computer in CAD? Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, perhaps I'm interested in urban design. Perhaps I'm interested in, you know, there's a whole team of architects in the city working on designing structures to address the issue of flooding in downtown Manhattan. Like, you know, there are just really myriad things that you can do with lots of different degrees, and really giving yourself the free rein to explore those things from a basis of not only what you want to do academically and intellectually, but also what kind of life you want to have and what kind of person you are, how you thrive.
Yeah, certainly a lot to consider, but it seems regardless, it's just all about being informed and doing some planning. And, as we wrap up this broadcast in a few minutes, what advice do you have to families regarding, you know, stress and so much on the table in terms of whether it's the college search process, the whole career assessment we talked about, whether it's looking for guidance on essays or the application itself or financial aid, or where do we start? Where does a parent start, and what's the best first steps to consider?
Well, I think the best first steps to consider are that it always comes back to the same thing, which is, as a parent, to kind of find out, first of all, I think there's two pieces to it too, right? So there's the project management piece, which is the piece which is the I's dotting and the T's crossing, the planning out, you know, your college visits, planning out your test prep, planning out your course selections, planning when you're going to ask your teachers for letters of recommendation, planning when you're going to carve out time to write that personal statement, planning when you're going to start to, you know, input everything in your common application, and, you know, all of those different things that involve deadlines and discrete tasks that need to be done by a certain time. And then the other piece of it is, and so within that is an opportunity to manage stress, which is, don't look ahead to the next thing necessarily, right? I think what oftentimes happens is certain things trip kids up, like, for instance, testing. It turns into, maybe taking the test too many times or prepping for too much time. Like, give yourself 8 weeks to prep for your test. And have that be it. Decide the score that you feel like you need to have, and certainly work to improve that score if necessary, but also, you know, respect your own time so that you're not kind of chasing something for the sake of chasing it. But being able to compartmentalize those tasks, we found when we worked with kids, like, helps reduce the stress. For parents, having the luxury of having someone else working with them, that can help reduce stress, because parents aren't worried about, you know, oh my gosh, is there something I'm forgetting to do? But I think the main thing is for kids to really have the ability to focus on their own journey and to kind of try and cancel out the noise of what other people's journeys are, because I think that's a huge stressor for parents and kids. You know, you're standing at the soccer field and someone says, oh, you haven't done this yet, you need to do that. And then your heart rate goes up to 1.5 million and your blood pressure, and you're like, oh, my God, there's something I'm not doing. And that can happen to kids and to parents. And very often, you know, that whatever that parent's sharing is relevant for their child but might not be. For your own. So the more we can encourage kids to focus on their own interests, their own, you know, outcomes that they're looking for. And for parents, it really starts with conversations, right? So not, you know, where do you think you could get in, but, or that would look good on your college application, but more like things like, you know, why are you finding that club gratifying? And what do you like about playing on that team? And, you know, which class are you enjoying the most this year? Like, questions that parents can ask students that refocus them on what it is that kind of makes them tick can be a huge de-stressor, like, in a family as children go through that process.
Well, it's certainly a process indeed, and I find our students, particularly our high school seniors who enter that senior year and they've put a lot of time in to the planning process, and they've got their college list set up, they have done their visitations, sometimes in this environment virtually. They've got the test wrapped up, meaning they've taken the test or about to take it for the final time, perhaps. A decent idea about the financial aid piece. And they've worked with adults, whether it's a sibling or an aunt or a parent, yeah, or someone like yourself or a high school counselor to hear their voice as they work on those essays. And they certainly can help relieve the stress and kick off the senior year in a good place.
Absolutely. So. And there's lots and lots of resources for kids, you know, in terms of adults. You know, their guidance department, their teachers, their family, friends, people like Sharon and I, but there's lots of resources for students to tap into.
Absolutely. Well, Lynn, it's been a pleasure to speak with you today about this important topic and to learn a little bit more as our students prepare. Our seniors really start to button up, or they're in the midst of this process, and we'll button it up soon. To learn more, I encourage the listeners to check out collegemodeconsulting.com and to continue to enjoy the journey, because it certainly is a journey.
It is. And thank you so much, David, for having us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Until next time, this is David Leach, and you have been listening to Your Schools. Bye now.